नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 89, Text 19. Whose is this? Oh, I've got an identical one. You make this?
That's from the
Prabhupada. Oh, I have one identical to this. Exactly identical. Interesting. So we're very close to the end of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, that is. There's only another, after this chapter, another one chapter, and you'll be finished with the 10th canto. Very long. Text number 19, is that the one on the board? There's not much purports for a few verses now. So we'll read text 19, maybe we'll read 3 or 4 verses, let's see. Shri Shuku Vacha Itam Sarasvata Vipra Minang Samshaya Mataye. Interesting word. Purushasya Padamboja Sevaya Tadgating Gataha Shishukuvacha Itam Sarasvata Vipra Minang Sanshaya Nuttaya Ninang Sanshaya Nuttaye Purushasya Padamboja Sevaya Tad Gatingataha Shishuku Vacha Itam Sarasvata Vipra Minang Sanshaya Nuttaye Purushasya Padamboja Sevaya Tad Gatingataha Shishuko Vacha Itam Sarasvata Vipra Minang Sanshaya Nuttaye Purushasya Padamboja Sevaya Tad Gatingataha Shukadeva Goswami said, Ittam, in this way, Sarasvataha, living along the Sarasvati River, Vipraha, the learned Brahmins, Ninam, of people in general, Sangshaya, the doubts, Nuttaye, to dispel, Purushasya, of the Supreme Person, Padamboja, of the lotus feet, Sevaya, by service, Tat, his, Gatim, destination, Gataha, attained. Translation, there is no purport. Shukadeva Goswami said, the learned Brahmins living along the river Sarasvati came to this conclusion in order to dispel the doubts of all people. Thereafter they rendered devotional service to to the Supreme Lord's lotus feet and attained his abode. Text 20. Shri Sutuvacha Ityetun Munitanayasya Padmaganda Piyusham Bhava Bayabit Parasya Pungsaha Sushlokam Shavvana Putai Pivatyala Abhikshin. Pantorva Brahmana Parishamam Jahati. Shri Suta Goswami said that thus did this fragrant nectar flow from the lotus mouth of Shukadeva Goswami, the son of sage Vyasadeva. This wonderful glorification of the Supreme Person destroys all fear of material existence. A traveler who constantly drinks this nectar through his ear holes will forget the fatigue brought on by wandering along the paths of worldly life. Nice verse. We'll try to put it in a little context in a minute, maybe. This narration, a purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, this narration by Srila Shukadeva Goswami is precious in two ways. For those suffering from spiritual infirmity, it is an effective tonic to cure the disease of illusion. And for surrendered Vaishnavas, it is a delicious and invigorating beverage, fragrant with the aroma of Sri Shuka's realizations. Nice verses, nice section of the Bhagavatam. You've already been going through, as far as I can see, the pastime of Brigha Muni, going to the various primary three controllers of this world to find out amongst the three who is the greatest or the supreme. That pastime has already been accounted, am I correct to say? You've been here for Bhagavatam the last few months, you've probably been going through that pastime. It's a very fascinating pastime of how Brigha Muni tests Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu and concludes that Shiva is beyond a doubt the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And on recounting his experience to the sages, they're all very astonished and amazed at the qualities of Vishnu or Krishna. And so that conclusion has been come to, and this pastime has been told by Shukadeva Goswami to King Parikshit. Now, here, and of course, Shukadeva Goswami is mentioned here. From the aroma of Sri Shuka's realizations. This transcendental subject matter, just like air, for instance, when it passes over a very fragrant place, the air takes on a beautiful fragrance. So similarly, although the topics of Krishna are already amrita, they're already nectar, when they come into contact with a pure devotee, they become even more nectar, paramrita. They become more nectarian. So similarly, Shuka, sometimes the word Shuka is understood to mean parrot, although Prabhupada says that Shukadeva Goswami is not like a parrot in one sense. As a parrot simply repeats mechanically, Shukadeva Goswami was not mechanically repeating as such. He was enriched by his own devotion and realization. His subject matter was enriched because he himself is a pure devotee of the Lord. The topics emanating from the mouth of a pure devotee become even more sweet and even more nectarian. And the example Prabhupada gives also of a parrot. You have parrots here in Australia, I don't know about in Melbourne, but I know up at New Govardhan there are plenty of parrots over there. And they love the fruit. And when they peck the fruit, of course we may think, no, it's not edible. But actually when they peck, they said that they make the fruit sweeter when they with their beak when they peck the fruit. Exactly how this works, some kind of something comes out of their beak, obviously, which does something to the fruit. But that's how it is. The parrot, when it pecks something, it supposedly becomes sweeter. So similarly, when a devotee And although this transcendental topic, you can say, is already unlike material subject, which when you read it and chew it and chew it, it gets drier and drier and more boring and less valuable as time goes on. Basically, it just becomes mundane. You want to get rid of it. It becomes useless. But transcendental subject matters, the more you chew them, the more you churn the subject, the more sweet it becomes. Just like any topic concerning Krishna, you can hear it over and over and over and over again. It's like you've never heard it before, practically. You read the Bhagavad Gita and you read it again, it's like you've never read it before. You didn't realize it's like ever fresh. It remains ever fresh, even chanting Hare Krishna, which doesn't seem to have any philosophical or even pastime to excite us. But just chanting Hare Krishna, every time you chant, depending, of course, on our contact or our attention, but each time it's like ever fresh. Ever fresh. You can go on Harinam Sankirtan every day. And of course, Krishna does arrange certain circumstances to make it really taste like it's ever fresh as well. But even without that, it's ever fresh every day. It never dries up. You can chant Hare Krishna forever. It's sufficient. It's like last night, some of you were on the Harinam Sankirtan, although I don't see many of the participants here. Maybe they're still recovering. You were there last night, weren't you, Mati? You two, Matijis, were there. Those two. Maybe, I don't know if anyone else was there last night. Was anyone else there? I don't see any. Oh, you were, yeah, of course you were there. Oh, Peter was there distributing leaflets. Right. So, you know, you can see, I'm sure you have this experience many times. But how wonderful it is when so many people just jump in and just absorb themselves for long periods of time in dancing and chanting. They have no knowledge, no renunciation practically. Maybe previous experience not known to them. They didn't know. I was talking to someone, they said, they don't know anything about Hare Krishna. Nothing at all. They don't know anything about it. They've never talked to a devotee before. And there they are dancing and chanting on Swanson Street, wildly, very, very wildly, and enthusiastically, like anything. Who's got the pictures? Who's taking the pictures, the camera? Huh? They're the one, what's that devotee's name on the camera? Oh, it's Uddhava's camera. It's Uddhava. If you want to see the picture, I'm told it's Uddhava's camera. You can see, maybe he can show the pictures. It's just amazing to see how people are so young, people, kids, 14, 15 maybe, and how naturally attracted they are. They have no knowledge, no renunciation, no experience in this lifetime, probably absorbed in material things. And there they are, spontaneous, and they're saying, "You guys, you've made us so happy, and we just feel so happy." They were so happy, tasting something which they would have to work very hard for, pay a lot of money for, to try to get a temporary experience anywhere near it. So even from the ignorant point of view, people, they are, knowingly or unknowingly, getting some taste from chanting Hare Krishna. So what to speak of those who have knowledge and renunciation, those who are more advanced spiritually, we can but imagine how much nectar these sages are experiencing, as Sukadeva Goswami is explaining with his ever increasingly nectarian descriptions of Krishna's pastimes and the other incarnations of Godhead. It's all total nectar to their ears. Satam prasangam mamavirya sangvido bhavanti vidkarna rasayana kataha. This transcendental subject matter, unlike material subject, it's just like there was another fellow up the road yesterday on the other end of, one end of Swanson Street, opposite the train station, stood up there on top of a kind of a platform, shouting, I don't know what exactly he was shouting, making a very loud noise. And there was, I could see a couple of pigeons were sitting there, were listening, and there was a drunkard kind of slouched across the bench. And that was it. And some stone statues looking the opposite way. And he was just stood there for goodness knows how long, just hollering, shouting at the top of his voice. But it didn't sound very nice. I don't know what he was probably Whether it was political or religious or what, I don't know. I didn't catch it. But it wasn't very attracting. It wasn't even attracting mundane people. You know, sometimes mundane people are attracted like crows to hear these things, but there wasn't even any mundane people there. It must have not been a particularly exciting to their senses, that's all I can say. But even the Hare Krishna, although people are not very much inclined towards spiritual things, they don't know what is that, but they're, somehow or other they're attracted to Krishna consciousness. And people have a hard time not smiling and laughing and waving when the party goes by. They try not to, many of them. But I saw one guy, he wrote kind of like, what would you say, a stone-like fellow who sells this big issue. Big issue, is that what it's called? It's that big guy sat there with his scarf wrapped around his neck and head. Big guy, old guy. He was like trying everything he could not to show any emotion whatsoever, but I looked back and he cracked out into a smile. He couldn't help but smile. So, you know, Krishna consciousness is naturally attractive to everyone. It's just, if the speaker especially is potent, of course, it does have more of an effect in penetrating through the layers of ignorance and passion which cover people's hearts. Goodness means less layers, easier for the message to penetrate. But people are deep in ignorance and passion. And deep in ignorance is just like a thick wall. And passion, they're just so busy in doing other things, they don't just kind of, they don't see the time to do this. Even if they see something good in it, they might do it for a little while. Too passionate. But those in goodness a little bit better, and their coverings are not so great, they're a little bit more attentive and patient, less disturbed. But those who are in transcendental goodness, they really relish this message. They don't just philosophically try to analyze it or, you know, enjoy it or anything. They just can't help but relish. This is the topic, they really, it's the subject matter which is completely satisfying to the heart and here. Bhavanti vidkarna rasayana kataha. These topics are completely satisfying to the heart and to the ear. And we not be on that platform. Sometimes when we get into a kirtan, we experience something extraordinary. When you let go, you have to let go of the attachment to the modes of nature and all the various effects of contact with the modes of nature. We have to let go, sarva-dharma, give them all up. Krishna says, give all these other attachments up, these other identities up, and as shelters, and just surrender to me. Let go. When we let go, when we stop trying to control the situation, when we stop trying to enjoy the situation, or, you know, analyze the situation, and then one can begin to start to appreciate Krishna consciousness more, especially in kirtan. It's just let the holy name, just take charge and just let go, just surrender to the mercy of the holy name, and one may experience some higher experience, some deeper experiences, rather than relative ones. Oh God, it's cold today, I don't want to, what am I doing here? The people don't like it, neither do I. I should be doing something else. Hope everyone likes the way I'm singing. I'm the best Madunga party and player here. I should be playing the Madunga. Why this, why that? So many things in mind going on. When we let go of all those things and just take shelter of hearing attentively, submissively, then the effect is felt more so. Just like here, I was thinking, now Sudha Goswami is speaking to the sages of Naimisharanya. And in Naimisharanya, if you've been there, some of you have been, I'm sure, Mahatma Prabhu, you must have been, Naimisharanya, not yet. Well, before it's too late, you better go. Of course, it's never too late. You don't have to go, but it's worth going. If you ever happen to be in the area of Lucknow, it's worth visiting. You've been, Nandamandir? No? Okay, well, it's a nice place. It's 3 hours maybe from Lucknow at the moment. Small village in the middle of nowhere, really, practically, materially speaking. Very small place, quiet. There are many things there, but one thing about it is that that's the place where this Bhagavatam was spoken, what we're reading. Sudha Goswami actually speaks Bhagavatam, the one we're reading. And there were a lot of sages there listening. A lot. It wasn't just a... And they had no microphone. No loudspeaker. No computers. No tape recorders or anything like that. Pardon?
They could hear.
Yeah, they had ears. They could hear. And there were 88,000 of them. And they, where were they sitting? You know, they weren't on top of each other. They weren't all crushed up to Sudha Goswami trying to hear. They were all sat peacefully. And Sudha Goswami wasn't screaming his head off like our friend down in Swanson Street yesterday. He was speaking normally. It wasn't he had to scream, "Can you hear the back?" No. Well, one thing is, of course, the atmosphere was not surcharged with all the junk that the modern day atmosphere is surcharged with, which interferes with sound vibrations, deflects them, reflects them, mixes them, covers it up. Everything's like a big whole atmosphere is full of this kind of cacophonous kind of roar. There's a sound of cars, aeroplanes, and people screaming, music blasting out, and God knows what.
Children crying,
etc., etc. And, you know, and then of course they complain when the Hare Krishna mantra is being chanted that you're making a noise. Stop that noise, some people say. They don't like it. But the whole atmosphere, and that's just on the gross platform, what to speak of the subtle platform, which interferes with one's ability to pick up on sound vibrations through the ear hole, is that the ether is full of all kinds of... You can't imagine the subtle vibrations in the ether in this world today. Well, it's almost unimaginable. It's almost all-pervasive, I would imagine. Because there's a number of, what is it, satellite things and television waves and phone calls going on and mobiles and internet and all these things, they're all just like filling up the ether with vibrations. Sound is also going through the ether, full of nonsense sounds, all the rubbish that people are talking about, and it's all there in the ether. You can't perceive it, but it affects everybody and everything. You don't realize it, but a lot of the problems are caused just by being here. Just being here alone is enough to make somebody go crazy, because the atmosphere itself is just so disturbed. Can't even perceive it sometimes. Some we can perceive it, we just accept it as normal. When all the electricity and all the other artificial forms of energy and stuff like this all affect the atmosphere and make it very difficult, extremely difficult to be peaceful and to hear properly. The mind, when to speak of the mind being full of all kinds of garbage, from the moment you come out of the womb, through school, through family life, through business, all newspapers, televisions, all garbage, being fed garbage. Nothing but garbage. So constantly even the mind is so full of stuff, there's no room for the transcendental sound vibration practically, or to settle. It may come, but it can't settle. It's full house, no seats left. Full, car park full, hard disk full, no room left. So this is the material difficulty for people to hear. So that's one thing, their ability to perceive is very, very, very poor. Secondly, the atmosphere is totally surcharged, so the sound vibration just gets muffled or diverted or covered over by something else in this day and age. And their minds are just so disturbed they can't pick it up even if it's there. Now the opposite was there in the forest of Naimisharanya. There was no... Even the birds stopped. The leaves, it said that the leaves on the tree stopped rustling. The air stopped moving. You could hear a pin drop from miles around. There was absolute silence. Total silence as Suta Goswami was speaking. Complete silence. There was no interference in the ether whatsoever for that sound vibration. It wasn't impeded. And on top of that, the receptivity of the sages was maximum. There was no other topic getting in the way. They'd wash their ears out in the morning when they got up. No, they had no dirt in their receptivity. So they were able to pick it up, perceive it, capture it, capture that sound vibration. Our problem is we can't capture it even if it's there. It's like you're trying to capture water and you've got your whole, and you see children sometimes, they come and you're giving them something like this. Their hands are like this, you know. You give them the Charanamrita and their hands are like that. It just goes straight over. It just doesn't hold. You have to know how to capture it. Similarly with sound vibration, we have to know how to capture it. This is our problem. The other things you may not do so much about, something maybe a little, but not too much, but at least we can work on our ability to capture the sound vibration. It's a big topic, but that's our service to become. That's why Prabhupada wants the mode of goodness. It's easier to catch it in the mode of goodness. Easier to catch it when in the mode of goodness. We talked about that a little yesterday. But that's one thing. And the other thing is, of course, the association, who we hear from, our own desire to hear, our own seriousness. It's like in the Bhagavatam, first canto, Prabhupada writes there that one who hears this message attentively will see Krishna in the pages of the Bhagavatam. You'll see him. But the secret is attentive hearing. One has to hear with rapt, Suta Goswami says, with rapt. That means it. Full and complete, rapt, fixed attention. Not partial attention, looking at the watch every 10 seconds, wondering, God, how long this is going to go on. How can I get out of here? Maybe the phone will ring, I can get out then. I can excuse to go and answer the phone. Or maybe I can send a message to someone to tell them to tell me to come outside. Or maybe breakfast, I've got to eat. Mind is always thinking of some other place to be other than Bhagavatam or reading Prabhupada's books. So this is our problem, right? We're not rapt attention. To be rapt, to be attentive, to be rapt attention, one has to be pure in mind. To be pure in mind, one has to be pure in one's behavior, habits, especially, Prabhupada says, eating, sleeping, mating, defending, all these things. They have to be pure, regulated. So this is the process where we follow regulated principles to discipline our minds and senses so we become eligible to hear the message of Bhagavatam. We may not be very eligible. In the beginning, chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasad, all these things are transcendental, but they're also the process, or the goal and the process. But the process is there, chant regularly, 16 rounds, come to this, do that. This all helps to calm down the wild mind and senses so we can actually become a little peaceful to hear this message of Bhagavatam. You hear it attentively. So Suta Goswami, he was a perfect speaker. And Sukadeva Goswami, also, of course, the son of Vyasadeva, a perfect speaker. So that's one thing, it's delicious, absolutely delicious topics which completely satisfy the self. Totally. Such topics, if I was learned, if I would studied for the verse, we could have found many verses to explain that further, which describe the nectarian taste of the subject matter of Krishna Katha, the nectarian experiences that those who actually hear attentively from the right source. But I didn't either prepare nor am I learned in that sense at all. So I wish I could. It would have been very nice to have read or described some of those verses, but I don't have them, so I can't. and nothing's coming to mind. Let's see, more points here. The first point here, for those suffering from spiritual infirmity, it is an effective tonic to cure the disease of illusion. This is our real disease. We have Dr. Mahatma Prabhu here today. Any other doctors with us? Any other doctors? No. Where's Narahari Prabhu's wife? He's a nurse. Huh? She's in America. Oh, is Narahari Prabhu there too? Not sure. Oh, so she's away. Anyway, those who are in the medical world, you have to deal with diseases of various kinds. People come with their diseases. Of course, everyone's got disease. Some manifest, some doesn't. There's disease in everyone. Now you go to the doctor, Dr. Mahatma, I'm very sick. Yes, what is wrong with you? You have to tell the doctor what is wrong with you, right, Arvind? You been to the doctor ever? What does he say? Does he ask you what's wrong with you? And what do you say? You've got a bellyache? Yes? You've got a headache? You've got a cold? You tell him what's wrong with you, isn't it? Is that what they do normally? The doctor asks you, so, what's wrong? You don't just go to the doctor to have a chat. You go there because you think there's something wrong with you. Now if you go to the doctor and say, doctor, I'm suffering from a terrible disease. It seems incurable. Yes, tell me, what is this? I think I am the body. Terrible, terrible disease. I identify with the body. You will think you're crazy. You will call the psychiatrist or the whatever they call them nowadays to take you away and to another place. Nobody thinks like that. This is the disease. Doctor, I'm very diseased. I'm attached to sense gratification. I'm attached to the material world. I think you're crazy. That's what you're supposed to do. I cannot understand. This is the disease of illusion. They're not able, blind persons cannot understand. Blind leading the blind can't understand what it is to see. They have no perception of it. They don't accept its existence. So this is a condition. But this is actually the cure also. It's an amazing thing. The verse is there in the Nectar of Instruction. But unfortunately people are not... my memory is not so good. Yet. None of you know that verse. Let's see if I can remember. I'll get some of the English, then we'll get it all probably. How the... although the taste of the holy name is sweet like nectar, for those who are covered by the disease of ignorance, it is like a person who has jaundice. Some of you have had jaundice? Who's had jaundice? You had jaundice? Anybody? Jaundice? Yellow fever? Everything tastes bitter. Everything tastes bitter. Off to school you go. Have a good day. Hare Krishna. And it tastes like bitter. Everything tastes bitter. Although it's not bitter, it tastes bitter because the senses of the tongue is diseased. Isn't it? I had jaundice one time. Nothing tastes nice. Everything, you don't want to eat anything. It's like, ugh. Even sugar tastes bitter. But the cure, Prabhupada gives this example. This is given in the Bhagavatam, or in the Nectar Instruction. The cure is sugar candy. You have to take sugar candy, that somehow to adjust the bile secretion or something. It doesn't taste nice. But when you get healthy, it tastes nice. But because people's senses are diseased not in the sense they've got some kind of hepatitis or cancer or something, not like that, but disease in the sense that their senses are covered by lust, covered by material illusion. In such a way that there's not much appreciation for the transcendental topics. It tastes bitter. Ugh. People pick up sometimes even Bhagavatam. What is this? I mean, if anyone read these verses today, it wouldn't mean much to anybody. Wouldn't mean much. But for one who has purified senses, even this, verses which don't necessarily give any philosophy or any pastime particularly, are relishable. Even the questions in the first canto, it states there, munayo sadaprishto ham bhavabhya lokamangalam yatkrita krishna samprishno yenatma supersedati. There Siddha Goswami in the first canto is praising the sages of Naimisharanya. Is that me on the screen? Is that me? God, I've changed. I got a shave this morning. There's a guy with a beard on it. I had a shave. Very interesting screen, that one. Got cows on there now. Looks like Vrindavan. Goats and cows. By the influence of the false ego, he thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. Interesting. Anyway, where were we? Where were we? We're testing your memory now. Where were we?
Even these verses.
That even the questions of the sages of Naimisharanya, Siddha Goswami, these questions are worthy. They're very valuable because they relate to the personality of Godhead and thus are of welfare to all the living citizens, to people in general. They're great welfare for their benefit. Such questions are capable of completely satisfying the self. Even the questions alone can satisfy the self because they're in relationship with Krishna. This is the secret. Questions and answers. That's why Prabhupada says one book, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. When we hear these questions and answers of the sages and Siddha Goswami, it's very, very wonderful. Very, very. That's why they have questions and answers, so that we can hear it. They may know it all. They relish it, as was mentioned here, as nectar to them. It's not that they have to remove their illusion necessarily, maybe some of them, but even still they do it to relish the taste and to give us the chance to become purified from our illusion. So we have to hear these topics over and over and over again. This is the subject matter. This will remove the... It's described in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam how our heart is full of sinful desires, material desires, like a big mountain of sin, it says. Just like a mountain of sin. Meditation. The verse describes how Lord Shiva becomes even more auspicious due to taking the water of the Ganga upon his head. He becomes still more auspicious because that water has touched the lotus feet of the Lord. The words which emanate from the mouth of Sukadeva Goswami and the pure devotees are coming directly. They said that they're full of the saffron-like dust of the Lord's lotus feet, and thus they are very, very purifying to the heart. So similarly, that when Prabhupada then describes how, therefore, one has to hear this topic over and over and over and over again, because this topic, just like the thunderbolt of Lord Indra smashes mountains to pieces, the subject matter of Krishna consciousness acts just like a thunderbolt, and it smashes the mountain-like heart of sin within us. It breaks it to dust, so that one then can actually hear properly. And the service to the devotees is the important key, of course. Shushushroshita dhanasya vasadeva kataruchi. To get that kata ruchi, that taste for this kata, one has to serve Shushushroshita dhanasya. They have to develop this unflinching faith in the topics. One has to serve those devotees, punyatirtha nishevanat, those who are pure devotees, those who are freed of all vice. By service to them, great service is done. By such service, one develops an affinity or an attraction to hear the messages of Krishna. That's how it comes about, by association. Associating with those who have an attraction to hear this message. This is how it works more effectively, to hear from those who have more of an attraction to this transcendental subject matter. I can remember most of these verses in that particular chapter of the Bhagavatam, because we learnt those when I was in 6 months in the movement. We used to chant the whole chapter every single day. on Sankirtan, traveling Sankirtan. That was a daily sadhana we did. So if you're under 50, and even if you're not under 50, you've still got a chance, but not such a good chance. And certainly if you're in your 20s, you have a great chance to remember verses. The memory is usually a lot better when you're young. Even if you have been sinful in your behavior up to then, you've still got something left. But if you've been a sinful person like me, by the time you get to 60, there's not much left. You try to remember something, you can't even remember, you know, 10 seconds later, practically speaking. Can't even remember if you were trying to remember in the first place sometimes. You know, it's very difficult when you get old. So when you're young, take advantage of this. Fill your memory cells up with Krishna Katha. It will stay there right, your whole life. Even though your capacity to bring more data may be reducing, that data will still be there. And sometimes you're able to access it if you're not too far out. Like this. So those who are pure, of course, that doesn't necessarily affect them even in old age. That sinful person's sinful lifestyle that I led hasn't helped in any way. But somehow or another, if we can hold on to something, somehow or another, will help to cure our illusion. Remind us. We have to read regularly to remind us. You know, the problems are often easily solved if we just expose ourselves to the topic of Krishna Katha. We waste hours and millions of dollars and hours of people's time trying to work things out mechanically. We're lazy just to do our own job of hearing and chanting about Krishna. And we just want to talk to devotees about our problems. God, this can go on forevermore. But the problems are really ultimately at the root are to be solved by hearing anarto pasanam shakshat bhakti yogat hokshade, that the anartas or the anomalies which are actually superfluous to the living entity, they have nothing to do with the soul, can be mitigated immediately by the linking process of devotional service. But people in general don't know this, therefore Vyasadeva's compiled this Srimad Bhagavatam for that purpose, to counteract all the unwanted anartas covering the soul, which had nothing to do with the soul, just coverings only, removed by exposure to the Bhagavatam. They said we have to expose ourselves to Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and Krishna Katha regularly. This is the nectar. The gopis, they sing this Tavakatamitam Dapta Jivanam Kavibiritam Kaum Shakam Shavanamangalam Srimadatatam Bhuvigvinantiye Purita Janaha. So it's very unusual. Pictures coming on the screen here now. Hare Krishna. So the gopis, they praise this Krishna Katha. This is the only relief for those suffering in this material world. Distress. Everyone's suffering in this world. Everybody. This is the only real relief, is Krishna Katha. These messages of Krishna consciousness should be spread everywhere. And those fortunate persons who they're very fortunate persons who receive it, and those who spread this message, they're the greatest welfare workers of all. So this is our great opportunity to spread this message to others. This will relieve them of the calls of their distress. Taking the Sankirtan movement out onto the streets, into the homes, wherever we can. Spreading the Sankirtan, spreading this message, distribute books, distribute prasadam, programs here and there. So many ways, chanting, dancing, of spreading this message and thus curing people of their disease of material existence, the illusion of identifying themselves with the body and being disturbed by their frustrations of trying to satisfy their never-ending desires. Okay, we will finish there. Are there any comments or questions? Is it clear?
Maharaj, why there is so much waxing and waning in our consciousness? Sometimes we are very attentive, then we are very low, we don't know.
I have some cotton buds, they'll get rid of the wax. If you do it properly, you can clear the ears out with a wax of the cotton buds. But some of that still doesn't help, I don't know. I tried that didn't work. And, what else can we do? What can we do to try to steady our inclinations? Well, why are we waxing and waning? Why? Why are we waxing and waning? Why?
Anartas.
Anartas are already there. Okay. What do we mean by anarta? There's anartas from the past, so, okay, you can say they'll gradually be cleansed out. They're already there. Is there anything more than just that?
We have no ruchi.
No?
No ruchi.
Yeah, we have very little taste, at least for hearing and chanting. Maybe we have a taste for prasadam in Melbourne, and we do at least for prasadam. We have a taste sometimes for Harinam Sankirtan because it's so fun. Isn't it, Peter? Wasn't it fun yesterday? Weren't those people, wasn't it wonderful to see all those? I mean, that gives us fun when we see others happy. You get something, there's some taste there for some things. Maybe your service you have a taste for. Occasionally you have a taste for hearing nice stories or something. Anything else? A little taste. Coverings of anarta. What else? Pardon? Goes to what you desire. Yes, we're still maintaining. It's one thing to have from the past, let's say accumulated pictures or desires or tendencies, etc. But we tend to still be attached to those things. There's still a strong attachment. Our faith, we still have strong faith in many of these things. Sometimes we even hide it from others. We don't have very much faith in Krishna. We have faith still in the material world. And we're still attached to things. And naturally your mind keeps going towards those things. Now, practically, what are we going to do? Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj answers this. What are we going to do?
Beat the mind.
How are you going to beat the mind? Where is the mind? Yeah, okay, in terms of practical, sometimes you get the wrong impression that the mind is the head or something, and you go bam, 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 but that's not quite what it's meant. Maya will do that already, you don't need to do it, don't worry. But yes, we have to chant Hare Krishna more and more and more. This is one thing. Try to become convinced that just keep chanting Hare Krishna, it will go away. It will become steady after some time. Harness that mind. And not just talk about what to do about it, but do something about it. Sometimes we just talk about it all the time. You get some temporary relief. You get it off your chest. But it's still, it's not the solution. This is the solution. This is the medicine. This is the medicine, chanting Hare Krishna. We have to take the medicine more and more and more, even if we have no taste. Now, what else is there involved? There's very important factor involved. Even that is difficult. Difficult to chant. Huh?
Be regulated so the desires can increase.
Yeah, we discussed that yesterday, didn't we? That verse, Ragadveshi Vimuktosh Tu Vishyanindriyas Charan. What's the next line? Last line is Prasadam Adigachchati. Tayo. Huh?
Is it
Yes, Adiya. Something or other, anyway. Vishaya, yeah. The regulated principles of freedom, and this will bring peace and so on and so forth. Mercy attracts. If we follow the regulated principles of freedom, and trying to engage our senses in devotion, so if one attracts the mercy of Krishna, a very important feature is mercy. We can't do it on our own. You can't control your mind on your own. You can't control your senses on your own. Try as we may, they're too powerful. They're Krishna's energies. They're very powerful. So the process is to just simply get the mercy of Krishna, to attract the mercy of Krishna. Prabhupada even writes in that verse, Anarto Pasamam Shakshat Bhakti Yoga Hoshade, he says that the awakening of our dormant affection for Krishna does not at all depend upon the mechanical process of hearing and chanting, but depends wholly and solely upon the mercy of the Lord. So you have to get mercy. Pray for the mercy. That takes a little humility. You've got to be humble. If you actually want, there's got to be true humility there. It's not just a mechanical exercise, but one has to have humility and dependence upon the Lord and His devotees, begging for their mercy and working to aspire for their mercy. So now we're coming on to the point that Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj mentions. It depends on your association. The secret is association. To the degree that we associate with the material, that much our mind will go that way. We have to associate with devotees, associate with them personally and through their instruction. We have to associate. This way gradually our perceptions will change, will become steadier in the association of devotees. This is the process. That means devotees who are steady. Not that we associate with devotees and all the devotees are thinking about is how to fill their belly and how to satisfy their senses, or have some negative perception of the devotional practice. That will not help to increase our steadiness or our faith or our determination. For instance, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in Bhakti Aloka, he describes there how by hearing about Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Haridasa Thakur, and great devotees, those three he mentions, but there could be others, he says that in this way, by hearing about their pastimes and their teachings, one develops great determination, confidence, and satisfaction. Three things. By hearing about, this is why it's important to hear about the great devotees also. You may not be able to hear about Krishna, but you hear about Prabhupada, it helps to evoke or develop this determination in devotional service. Of course, Krishna says, Bhogaishvaya pasaknam tayapri to chetasam vyavasayatmikabhu hiya samadhu navidiyate. That the determination which is required for devotional service does not take place in the mind or the heart of one who is Bhoga Aishwarya, too attached to sense gratification and material position, opulence and so on. But in association with proper devotees, then that is possible. We will develop that determination, that steadiness, that faith, that confidence, that courage, that satisfaction that you don't hanker anywhere else. So association is very important, how we associate. If we really want to advance in Krishna consciousness. And the bottom line is, you have to have the desire. No one's going to force you, even Krishna. If we really are serious, Krishna will help. Otherwise, sometimes it's just lip service. We want a cheap imitation. If we really want to be Krishna conscious, Krishna will help, it will happen. Take shelter of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everything becomes possible. Alright, we're going to finish there. Grantaraj Sriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Go Premanandi.